Welcome to Good News in the Morning, a program of words and music, bringing a Christian message of hope and encouragement to those who are looking for an intelligent, meaningful, and spirited approach to faith and to life.
Today, I choose to follow you. Today, I choose to give my yes to you. Today, I choose to hear your voice and live. Today, I choose to follow you.
Welcome to Good News in the Morning. This is Reverend Juliet Schimpf speaking, and thank you for joining us today. Our broadcast today is sponsored through the generous support of Wills Transfer Limited, and we'd like to say thank you for their generosity to our ministry. Please check us out at www.gncm.ca. That's short for Good News Christian Ministries.ca. Well, today's broadcast is all about dynamic faith. Dynamic faith. Last week, we talked about salvation by grace. And this week we're looking at salvation for works. Salvation for works. So last week we set the groundwork with that classic passage from Ephesians 2, by grace you have been saved. Well, this week we're going to look at another important passage, namely James chapter 2. We're going to look at how we're saved not by works, but for works. James chapter 2, starting at verse 14. What good is it, my brothers, if a man claims to have faith but has no deeds or works? Can such faith save him? Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to him, "Go, I wish you well, keep warm and well fed," but does nothing about his physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. Faith without works, says James, is dead. Well, we're going to unpack this in a few moments. We're going to look at dead faith, demonic faith, and dynamic faith. But let's first focus in on Christ and get ourselves ready by listening to a classic song by Michael W. Smith, "Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus."
Thank you.
Welcome back to Good News in the Morning. Today we're looking at dynamic faith. We're looking at James chapter 2, and we're looking at the role of works in our faith. Well, in this passage, James chapter 2, we see that faith without works is dead, and we see that three times. We see it in verse 17, verse 20, and verse 26. So what is this dead faith? Dead faith. What is meant by that? Well, dead faith is really counterfeit faith. People with dead faith typically substitute words for deeds. They know all the correct vocabulary for prayer and testimony. They even quote the right verses from the Bible. But their walk does not measure up to their talk. And so, this is a dead faith, says James, or a counterfeit faith. And Jesus Christ had harsh words for these people. He said in Matthew 15, verse 8, "These people draw near to me with their mouth, and they honor me with their lips, but," here's the big but, "their heart is far from me." Dead faith, or counterfeit faith, is really all about the intellect alone. And we're going to see that that's just not enough. Dynamic faith is a faith that occupies the entire will of the person. Not just the intellect and not just the emotions, but the will. Now, James himself gives a very simple illustration of a dead or counterfeit faith. He speaks of a poor believer who comes into fellowship without proper clothing and in need of food. And the person with the dead faith noticed the visitor and saw his needs, but he didn't do anything to meet the needs. We see in James 2, verse 16, that this person with dead or counterfeit faith, he said a few pious words. He said, "Go, I wish you well, keep warm and well fed." But the visitor went away just as hungry and naked as he came in. So friends, as believers, we have an obligation to help meet the needs of others. 1 John says this, "If anyone has material possessions and sees the brother in need and has no pity on him, how can the love of God be in him?" Now, the elephant in the room here is, okay, so we're supposed to have works. Faith by itself, if not accompanied by works, is dead. The elephant in the room is this a contradiction of Paul? Because we saw last week that Paul taught salvation is by grace alone, not through our works, lest anyone should boast. Well, there's no contradiction here in the Word of God. In fact, Paul and James, as someone once said, Paul and James do not stand face to face fighting against each other. They stand back to back fighting opposite foes. Paul was speaking of saving faith, whereas James is talking about professing faith. And Paul was talking about the root of faith, whereas James is now talking about the fruit of faith. When Paul was emphasizing that we are not saved by works, he was talking about the works of law. Now, when James says that we must carry out works, he's talking about the works of faith. Paul was talking about the works of law, and James is talking about the works of faith. Don't just take my word for it. Listen to Paul in Romans 3. He says, "We conclude that a man is justified by faith without the works of the law." He's talking about works of law. James is telling us that we need works of faith. Works of faith. And that's why he says, verse 26 of James 2, "As the body is without the spirit, as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead." John Calvin once summarized it this way, "Faith alone saves, but the faith that saves is never alone." All right, so James is not contradicting Paul. He's saying dead faith or counterfeit faith is faith without action, faith without works of faith. We're going to pause and listen to a song by Josh Wilson called Savior, Please. And when we're going to come back, we're going to listen about demonic faith and then dynamic faith.
Savior, please take my hand. I work so hard, I live so fast. This life begins and then it ends, and I do the best that I can, but I don't know how long I'll last. I try to be so tough, but I'm just not strong enough. I can't do this alone. God, I need you to hold on to me. So hard, I fade so fast. Will you begin right where I am and be the God of all I am? Because you're all.
Welcome back to Good News in the Morning. Today, we're looking at salvation for works. Not salvation by works, but salvation for works. We're looking at James chapter 2, and he's admonishing us in this passage to carry out dynamic works of faith. Well, we're looking at three parts to this passage. We're looking at dead faith, then demonic faith, and lastly, dynamic faith. We saw a moment ago that dead faith is counterfeit faith. It's faith without works. We also saw that this does not contradict Paul's teaching in Ephesians 2 that we are saved by sheer grace. We are reminded that we are We are not saved by works, but we are saved for works. So that was dead faith. We're now going to look at demonic faith. Demonic faith. In this passage, James chapter 2, James wants to shock his complacent readers. And so he used demons as his illustration. He says in James chapter 2, verse 19, "You believe that there is one God. Good. Even the demons believe that. And they shudder." What is James doing here? Well, he's trying to show that the intellect isn't enough, as we saw with dead faith. Here he's showing that emotion is not enough. The demons clearly display emotion. They shudder. But that's not enough for a dynamic faith. We're going to see in a moment you need the entire will to be engaged. You know, it comes to a shock to people that demons have faith. What exactly do they believe? Well, for one thing, demons believe in the existence of God. They're not actually atheists or agnostics. They believe in the deity of Christ. Whenever they met Christ while he was on earth, they bore witness to his sonship. For example, in Mark chapter 3. They also believe in the existence of a place of punishment. And they recognize Jesus Christ as the ultimate judge, as in Mark 5. And so demons have intellectual knowledge. And they even display an emotional response to Christ when they cry out. But that is not enough, says James. That is not enough. You see, the person with dead faith was touched only in his intellect. And now the person with demonic faith is touched in their emotion. But we need more than simply to believe and tremble. A person can be enlightened in their mind and even stirred in their heart and yet be lost forever. True saving faith involves something so much more, namely a changed will. And that's why James says in verse 18, "Show me your faith apart from your works or your will, and I by my works will show you my faith." I like what Warren Wiersbe says about all of this. He says, "Being a Christian involves trusting Christ and living for Christ. You receive the life, and then you reveal the life." You receive the life and then you reveal the life. All right, we're in the home stretch. We've looked at dead faith and demonic faith. We want to close out now with the most important of them all, dynamic faith. Dynamic faith. You see, saving faith can be recognized and identified by certain spiritual fingerprints. Dynamic faith is a faith that is real and that has power. And it results in a changed life. Now, there's a few ingredients of this dynamic faith. The first is that it is always based on the Word of God. You see, we receive our spiritual rebirth through God's Word itself. That's why James 1:18 says, "He, God, gave us birth by the Word of truth." We receive birth by the Word of truth. Then James 1:21 says, "Welcome with meekness the implanted word that has the power to save your souls." You see, faith is only as good as its object. And the man in the jungle bows before an idol of stone and trusts it to help him, but he will receive no such help. No matter how much faith a person may generate, if it is not directed at the right object, it will accomplish nothing. And so we must place our faith in the Word. Dynamic faith starts with the Word. It also, secondly, it involves the whole person. Dead faith touched the intellect alone. Demonic faith involves the mind and the emotions, but dynamic faith involves the whole will. The whole person is involved. And thirdly, dynamic faith always leads to action. It's not mere intellectual contemplation nor emotional consternation. It is obedient action. Listen to how John Gladstone puts it. "To believe is to serve. The Christian must express his inward conviction through outward action. The old slogan of a former generation, 'Saved to serve,' is still valid. For we are not saved by service, but we are saved for service. What does this look like? Well, James makes everything always really practical, and he gives two concrete examples. He speaks of Abraham and of Rahab in chapter 2, and these two individuals could not be more different. Abraham was a Jew, and Rahab was a Gentile. Abraham was a godly man, and Rahab was a sinful woman, a harlot. Abraham was the friend of God, while Rahab belonged to the enemies of God. But they both had something in common. What was it? They both exercised dynamic faith. We see that Rahab received the Israelite spies. She concealed them from her own people and then told them how to escape without being detected. You can learn more about this in Joshua chapter 2. She didn't say to the Israelite spies, "I'll just stand on the sidelines when you enter the city and sing, 'Praise God from whom all blessings flow.'" She didn't say, "Hallelujah, praise the Lord, and stand back." She did lots more than mere lip service. She said to them, "I'm going to do something. I'm going to hide you because I believe God is going to give the people of Israel this land." This is radical and courageous faith, friends. Basically, faith is not believing in spite of the evidence, but obeying in spite of the consequence. And that's what Rahab did. She stepped out in faith, and she took a bold risk. Likewise, Abraham says, James chapter 2, verse 21, "Was he not considered righteous for what he did when he offered his only son Isaac on the altar?" This is dynamic faith. It says in verse 22 that Abraham's faith and his actions were working together. His faith and his works were working together. That's why C.S. Lewis says, regarding the debate about faith and works, it's like asking which blade in a pair of scissors is more important. Faith without works is dead. No, we're not saved by works. But make no mistake, we are saved for good works. So we've seen today a dead faith, which is intellect alone. We've seen a demonic faith, which brings in some emotion. And then we've closed off with dynamic faith, which captivates the entire will and fills us with dynamic energy. For as James 2:26 says, "As the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without deeds is dead." But when you bring in dynamic, active faith, oh boy, the faith, the life, the body is filled with life. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, which is a lamp to our feet. It teaches us, it stretches us, it challenges us. And today we've been called into action. It's not enough to just have lip service, to know the right verses, the right answers, even the right prayers. We know that if we have all the right words but no love, no action, we are to be pitied above most all people. Will you fill us with dynamic faith today, God? A faith that doesn't just believe in spite of evidence, but obeys in spite of consequence. And so some listener right now has been mulling over something courageous, maybe a career change, maybe moving over to foreign missions. I pray today that they would stop wrestling with you and say, "I'm going to do this. I am engaging in dynamic faith." Lord, will you encourage us and equip us to do good works, which you created for us in advance? For we are saved not by good works, but we are certainly saved for good works. And we'll be careful to give you all the glory. Amen.
Good News in the Morning is produced in the studios of News Talk Radio 580 CFRA.